Well, hey, dads, welcome to the Dad Nation podcast. Jason and Matt in the house for this July 2023 episode of the Dad Nation podcast. Excited to be here. And this is, again, a podcast that's an extension of a ministry called Dad Camp. We are on mission to build stronger fathers who build stronger families. We have a dream to see a world where every family has a great dad. And over the years of doing Dad Camp, which is an events-based ministry where kids join their dads for a weekend or for a day for to build memories and to be built into like they've never been built into before, we've been given the feedback of, hey, beyond this event, is there anything else that you can do as an organization to encourage me as a dad? And so a few years ago, Matt and I were like, let's give this podcast thing a try. And
yeah.
We're into the third year, I guess, now,
yeah.
two completed years. And so we release an episode on the first Saturday of every month. If you've never listened before, welcome. If you are a regular listener, thank you for being a regular listener. And we encourage you to share this this podcast with your community. And so, yeah, just thankful to be here. We are actually, this is July 1 that this episode's being released. And mm-hmm. so obviously we recorded this in June. And actually, June for me was a month where I am going to be gone for the majority of the month. So we shot this podcast or recorded this podcast at the very beginning of June for this July episode. So mm-hmm. we're not going to share any June highlights like we sometimes do because we don't have any June highlights to share.
It's
the moment
yet.
We're talking. But QOD, question of the day, Mr. Mm-hmm. Matt. Mm-hmm. Favorite sporting event you've ever attended or favorite sporting memory?
Memory. Okay. Yeah, I got one for both of those. So memory would be the playoff game with the Pacers and the Knicks where Reggie Miller scored like 8 points in like 10 seconds.
Were you watching or were you there?
So interestingly, and this will date myself for you guys for sure.
That was an epic game.
That was an epic game. So I was on my way home from college. I went to college in New Orleans. And that game, I wasn't going to make it home in time to watch the game. So my mom recorded the game for me, VHS tape.
Yes.
Okay.
VHS.
And the beautiful thing about this time, for you guys that aren't old enough to remember it, is there were no cell phones. There was no way that I was going to know the outcome of the game.
True.
By the time I got home.
Unless you had AM radio or something.
Yeah, maybe. Like I wasn't going to listen to it. It wasn't like your phone, like you can't even just open your phone and then all of a sudden
it's
blown.
Some notification, you're like,
right. I didn't want to know. So I get home, I didn't unpack, I drop my bags, I go straight into the basement. I didn't want to hear anything from my mom, she knew that. And then I watched the game. And I'm down there by myself in the basement going crazy over this game, but just to see Reggie score those points to win that game was one of the biggest sports memories I have. And then attendance, I was at his last game, home game as a Pacer. And so that was a pretty cool thing to see his whole career sort of wrap up and be at his last basketball
cool.
game. Yeah.
I am like not a big NBA guy.
Mm-hmm.
But when I thought about this question, I too would take myself in attendance to a playoff game with the Pacers. Sadly, I don't even remember. I think they were playing the 76ers. Pretty sure it was Iverson and Miller game. But the intensity from like regular season NBA game versus back in the day when the Pacers were relevant and like the Reggie days.
Yeah,
a playoff atmosphere. The white towels, it was intense. And
yeah.
Like I still remember that as one of my favorite sporting memories. I just attended for the first time the Indianapolis 500.
Okay.
And never had done that before. And we were blessed. My son was blessed with four tickets that were just past the start-finish line. We were five rows from the track.
Oh, wow.
So it was a pretty, I mean, right across from Pitt Row.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a race fan.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even have named one racer before the race, the night before the race started. I was like, does Helio Castroneves still do racing? Does Scott Dixon? Turns out they were.
Right.
But I didn't know until I checked because I don't follow that kind of racing at all. And so then before the race, I was like, well, I got to cheer for someone. That's no fun. To me, it's not anyway. Just go and watch. I want to cheer for someone.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'll find an American driver here and pick one. And I look at this one guy, and he was starting in the middle of the pack. And he had won, like he has a history of winning some races, but he'd never won the 500. I'm like, yeah, I'll pick him. His name's Joseph Newgarden. And he won the race.
He won the race.
And wins it by a like epic pass on the final lap.
And, oh, yeah.
And so I was like just total poser fan because I was going crazy because my guy won the race. Like,
right.
Yeah, my guy, whatever. I like, didn't even know who the guy's name was before the race. But it was fun.
Yeah.
I don't know if I wouldn't not do it again, but I wouldn't be like chomping at the bit to go again.
Right.
But I'm really glad I did it.
Yeah.
But a favorite memory is actually as a coach of my son's little league team. And we were playing the arch rival. And if you're listening, the arch rival Rucheville, the western side of town, you know, and actually now coach high school at that with those kids, high school baseball. But, but back in the day, we were on the Taylor side of town. It was the enemy. And they were like, we just had these battles, literally played them multiple times a summer tournaments. And it was 50-50. Like they would win 50%. We would. Yeah. Anyway, it's the championship game of the districts, I think they were called, if I remember right, or the region or whatever, was to qualify for state in Little League. And we were down 6-2 in the last inning with our number 9 hitter up with 2 outs and 2 strikes and nobody on base.
Oh, that's a dire situation.
And we won the game.
Wow.
And I never forget that because it
I
was,
bet.
I mean, yeah. That was awesome.
That's exciting.
It was just like to see my guys, you know, just that number 9 old hitter hits this little bloop single, and we're like, all right. Then the leadoff up, another hit. Then the sudden just hit, and we ended up winning 7-6.
Wow.
And anyway, that was awesome.
I bet.
And lots of good memories like that. So, yeah, favorite sporting event or memory. So, good QOD. So, ask your kids or tell your kids tonight. Or today sometime, about your favorite sporting event. I mean, if you're not a sporting person, then adventure of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, share a story. So, but no, we're not going to share any June highlights because we're actually recording this early in June. But I did want to tell you, and I did ask you to pray for in the last episode, to pray for this team going to Kenya in June. And we actually, as of right now, we haven't left yet. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about them because it's so cool. We've got 4 dads going, and they're taking 7 of their kids. So one dad's bringing, you know, 2 kids. Another dad's bringing 2 kids. That's kind of why it's lopsided that way. But they've been attending. These are dad camp veterans. These are dads that have been bringing their kids to dad camp since they were in kindergarten or third grade or like way back.
Right.
And then coming every year. And they've said, these guys, when they graduate from high school, we want to take them on a trip together to go take, you know, to help you take dad camp somewhere else. And we want to go serve together and have this adventure. And
that's
so they've
so
been
awesome.
Talking about this for years.
Yeah.
And it's here. And we're going to Kenya. And because our team is pretty big, it's 13 of us going, we're going to divide into 2 teams when we get there.
Mm-hmm.
We have 2 directors in Kenya now that are planning for us to be there, and they're going to divide us into 2 teams, and every day we're going to go out from where we're staying, and each team is going to do their own dad camp in a different location, and then we come back at night to the same place, and we can celebrate, and like, how'd it go, and, you know, tell us a story. But for 4 consecutive days, we're dividing and conquering, and we're going to do, it's planned to do 10, maybe 11 dad camps in 6 days with this team while we're there. And so I am pumped just because of the history, because of everything leading up to it. But also, this is going to set up our Kenya team to launch 10 new locations within a week that then they can follow up with and keep running the dad camp play on their own with the Kenya team there, beyond, so they can have 10 locations to be building from.
Right.
This could explode.
That's awesome.
And so, and then our director from Uganda is coming over to join us in Kenya to help us. So,
okay.
And he's on fire and says he's gonna reach 1 million men in Uganda. So
yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to. My highlight is it's coming.
Yeah.
And we'll let you know in the August episode.
Yes.
You know how that went, but be praying for. I guess you don't have to be praying for them now because as the time you're listening to this, they're home.
Yeah, the next one will share some amazing stories that we know are going to happen.
As of today, if you're listening on July 1, I'm in Congo on a second African trip doing more dad camps. So be thinking about praying us over.
Let me say, guys, I cannot emphasize enough, if you have the ability to do it, the investment in going on a mission trip. If it's with Dad Camp, awesome. If it's with some organization, awesome. But I've done it with Dad Camp. I've been with my family to Kenya. I've been to Ukraine. We've been to Jamaica. I've taken my son there twice now. I'm telling you, I can't overstate the importance of doing that with your family, with your children. I'm stuttering right now because I don't have the words to say. What kind of investment and what it means for you and your relationship with your family, your children, with God, with their relationship with God. I just can't overstate enough that reach out to Dad Camp if this is something you're interested in, and we will definitely help you make it happen.
Yep, dadcamp.org. You can contact us through the webpage. You can email me, jason@dadcamp.info. And I cannot agree with Matt more. I would say nothing had more impact on the lives of my kids than our short-term mission trips experiences in terms of the development of their faith, their understanding of the world and God working throughout the world and just being a part of different cultures. And it, my one daughter would say, like, nothing has impacted her faith, and she is who she is today because of those trips.
That's right.
To do that with them as a dad, I know it's expensive, it can be expensive, but man, I would say at least one time before your kids graduate and go to college, take them on somewhere between the ages of 13, I would say, and 17, somewhere in there, I'd say, go on at least one trip. It's powerful, not just for them, but for you too. If you've never been, I would say the life change that happens in a week, on a short-term, mission trip week like that can far exceed reading 5 books or listening to 10 sermons or whatever. It's so, so powerful.
Our Gen Zers guys are walking away from Christ in alarming numbers by the millions. And our kids going to church is awesome. Being a part of youth groups, awesome. We lead our kids. The problem, as I see it, is that they need to have an experience with God that cements their faith to the point that it cannot be shaken.
Yes,
no matter
sir.
What doubts they may have, no matter what someone brings to them, no matter what they don't understand in the Bible, all that being said, they go to a point. I was with my dad in Kenya, in Guatemala, in Honduras, in wherever it may be, and I saw God do this. And there's nothing for the rest of my life can shake the fact that I know that was God in my life working, and everything else I'll have to figure out around that. But you can't shake my faith that He's real, He exists, and He's working in our lives today.
That is my daughter's story. You just described it. She would say, Dad, there's times that when I start having my doubts that I just go back to that trip.
Amen.
Or trips.
Mm-hmm.
Because that cements me again.
It kind
of reminds me of like, okay, yeah, this feels, I feel like, a little doubt right now, but there is no doubt.
Right.
Because of what I seen, because of what I experienced in on those trips. And so that is her story. She says, Dad, I don't know where I'd be today in my faith if it weren't for those experiences.
Yes.
Where we can't explain them.
Right.
I mean, I'm not some radical kind of personality guy. I'll pray for you and I will pray over you, but I'm not going to go crazy, but I'll believe and I pray in faith. But, my daughters and I prayed for people in Haiti one time and literally saw physical healing happen right there.
Right.
And I don't know what else to tell you about that, but I saw a deaf man here. I saw a man walk in with like crutches and could barely walk, that dropped his crutches and walked out. And I saw both of these people days later, and they still could hear and they still could walk. I mean, that's all I can tell you. And my daughter saw that. She was with me. She was a part of that prayer with me. And she's like, I know for a fact God is who he says he is.
Yes.
So, yeah, we didn't plan on taking that path, but man, that's good to emphasize. And nothing we could say more is being dads and our experience of leading our kids that these kinds of things are, do it. Please, guys, go for it. All right, we're going to jump into our convo, the five marks of a man. We're still in the third mark, which is men are team players. This month's discussion inside of that mark is that boys hold back emotional expression while men are affectionate. In the light of being a team player, that men are affectionate with one another, where boys are will hold back emotional expression. And I think for both Matt and I, as we read this, we had to kind of really think about this in terms of affection and how it's expressed in our culture, how it's different, very different in America than it is in other parts of the world, how it's different from when we read in Scripture. For him and I, right before we jumped on here, we were like, how are we going to talk about this? This is going to be
a little
different. By no means is it not true, or do we disagree, but we have different thoughts maybe on how this might play out. So, he says, most unwritten man rules are written by boys. I thought that was good, and I really agree. Like these rules, like men don't cry, or men don't show weakness, men don't show affection. These are actually these rules of manhood that really aren't written by men. That these are, and I would agree 100% with that.
I do. I do too.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like we have been conditioned at times to, if we show emotion, that's being weak as a man.
Right.
If we cry, that's not strong. Or if we show affection, we're not, living into this whatever grit of a man that our culture might think. And I would agree that can't be further from the truth.
Right.
He then goes on to discuss how affection, in other parts of the world is not maybe, men holding hands. Here we might be like, that's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, in other parts of the world though, just normal.
Right.
Greeting one another with a kiss. That's still very common. Men greeting each other with a kiss. Don't see a lot of that in our culture.
No.
And Matt, if you greeted with me with a kiss, we've already said, we might be like, I don't know about that.
You're being weird, dude.
But if you greeted me with an embrace, like just big, a solid, firm hug, I'd be like, yeah,
right.
I appreciate that.
Right.
I feel that love. And so it's just, it's different. It's not, one way or another is not wrong. But I think what the bigger point here is affection is important.
Yes.
And it's right. How we show affection, though, might be different depending on where we live, depending on how we were brought up, depending on how we were raised.
It's true.
But you see in Scripture, David and Jonathan, they wept with each other. They kissed one another. It wasn't that wasn't weird to them. And there's lots of other examples in Scripture. So what are your thoughts? I've been doing all the talking here so far.
Yeah, let's start backing up to the emotions. Again, thinking through this, I was thinking like, I don't know if guys out there are familiar with The Chosen, but The Chosen is something that is an amazing series about the life of Jesus. And I remember being in the second season, I was thinking, there's literally not one episode that I have not cried when I was watching this show. And we're watching as a family. My oldest son, when he was not off to college yet, was watching it with us, and my youngest son, and they'd see me cry, And I was thinking, like, I didn't think it was weird or there was any reason why I shouldn't. And God gave us these emotions, and if something tugs at your heart to the point where it's so beautiful to you, that's what it is. These scenes bring to life the Gospels, And it adds a layer of humanity that we can sometimes forget when we're reading about Jesus and his life and his interactions with other people. So it just brought to mind, like, there's nothing wrong with crying, and there's appropriate situations for that, and it can be for different emotions. But I don't feel like my boys see me as any less of a man because of that, or that my wife does as well. Matter of fact, I think our vulnerability is something that is we all have it, and it's more authentic to just be real with our family and our friends and others around us than try to put up a facade of a tough guy thing.
Being willing to share it is a strength.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a lot easier to facade it.
For those who are believers, you know, in the Word, there's this point where Paul's told by God that his strength works best in his weakness. And so some of those things that we have that are weaknesses are actually the places where God can do the most work or get most of the glory in our lives. And so that's not something that we're called to necessarily hide.
Yep. So going to go back to what you said about, you know, God gave us emotion.
Mm.
And so, you know, if he gave it to us, is he then saying to us to keep it inside of us?
Right.
Or to express it?
Right.
And the reason I wanted to go back here is, you know, at dad camp events, a part of, you know, one of the most important parts of every experience at a dad camp is a time when we intentionally create for a dad to bless his children. And depending on where we are, but even not anymore, like at every single time that I'm leading, I want to make sure that those dads understand that idea. Like when you think about some things that you want to share with your child, and then you go do it and you look them in the eyes, I don't care if they're 6 years old or they're 17 or they're, I guess, 40.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good chance that you're going to start to feel something.
Right.
Because of the love you have for them and the pride. And then you're like, look them in the eyes and you're telling them these things that you feel. Well, then these feelings are there.
Right.
And I tell dads all the time, so then don't keep the feelings in. Don't just spit out the words. Like, let them feel what you really feel. Like, who deserves that more than your children? And
absolutely,
that is strength for them to see that and to actually feel your emotion, not just hear your words, but to feel your words. And when it's like, but we got to say that a lot of times, because it's like dads are like, they're looking around the room because there's other, they're all going to bless their kids. And
right.
While they spread out and all, they're still kind of like thinking, I don't know if I want to see that guy. People want to see me crying or whatever. We're like, who cares?
Right.
Like, we're all just dads in the room. Yep. Let's just do this. Let's go for it. Let our kids feel it. And, you know, and some of us, you know, just aren't naturally as emotional as others. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Okay.
But I always tell the guys, like, but don't repress it. If it's there, man, you know, go for it. And so, they need to feel that affection, not just, you know. So, I thought about affection, when you said something to me earlier too, that you kind of grew up the same way. And as I thought about, I am not an affectionate person.
Mm-hmm.
I get emotional, and I'll cry and I'll share stuff, but I'm not a touchy feely kind of person.
Right.
My wife, you know, would say, like, I'm not a romantic. But if I look back on my upbringing, neither were both my parents, you know.
Right.
A lot of people have mothers that, you know, you get that hug from mom every day when you get home, and or just that touchy feely kind of, like, you know, mother son or daughter relationship, or maybe that was with your dad, but neither one of my parents were touchy feely with each other or with me. They weren't, you know, really affectionate that way. And so I am not naturally affectionate in my relationships with my wife, with my kids. But, you know, last month I shared how, you know, my mom's funeral. She passed in March and had her funeral in May. But I gave a tribute to my mom, and I really, you know, had a chance some days to just think about her life and her impact on my life. And it made me think, like, well, there's no doubt mom loved me. Like, that's not a question.
Right.
But I didn't get I didn't receive love in a touch way.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really receive love from her in an affirmation, words of affirmation way.
Right.
But as I thought about it, I did receive love from her in acts of service
mm-hmm.
and in gift giving.
Yeah.
She was the best gift giver to me. And she, you know, drive my dad crazy sometimes. Like, really, you bought him that again? But she was like, yeah, like that's just, but, and then the way she would take care of us in the home and like bake for me, like, and I mean, just the service that she would, and I felt, even though it wasn't touchy, but I felt affection from her in those ways. Like,
right.
I felt close to her. I felt loved by her. And I felt, so it's not that I like literally felt it, but I experienced an affection from
sure.
her. That's how she showed her affection towards me. And no doubt I sense and believe and experience that affection from her. And so that's kind of, as I was thinking about it, like maybe, you know, maybe the affection that you express and give isn't touchy-feely, but that's okay. Like, there are different ways to express and have people feel affection from you.
Right.
And,
right.
you know, there's these things called the five love languages. And I'd say go to school on those. You know, I mentioned acts of service and gift giving. That was my mom's love language. That's how she gave love to people.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not an acts of service or gift giving receiver, then you might have, there might have been a void there. Like, if you'd have got that from my mom, you'd be like, this, you know, if like for me, like, but I was, so like I received love from that, my mom that way. But had I not been, I might've been like, does mom love me? Because it's, you know, but those are just two, but you have words of affirmation, which my mom and dad weren't. There's touch, which my mom and dad weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's time. And,
yeah.
Those are the five. And so, you know, really to going to school as dads, like listening, like discovering what your love languages, yours are, and then what your children's are, what your wives are, so that then, you know, because you may give it, you may have the gift of time, and you give a lot of your time, but maybe your kids don't, you know, it's not really common, but I'm just trying to throw an example. Maybe time isn't their love language, maybe words of affirmation is. And
right.
So you're giving all this time, but you're not being very vocal about how you feel about them, and they're kind of start wondering, you know, so... But that's how we show affection. I think affection
yeah.
is felt through how we love.
Yeah.
And so, you said too, you didn't really grow up in an affectionate type of environment
right.
either.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of touch. Like, my mom was raised me as a single mom. Guys may have heard my story here on the podcast before at the events, but my dad wasn't around from an early age, and so I didn't have a real relationship with him and didn't have any affection from him. And my mom was just sort of forced into a situation. Like, she had to be kind of tough. You know, mm-hmm. she was a single African-American woman raising a son on her own as of like 1977. And so she kind of had a little chip on her shoulder. But I knew she loved me. She would lay down her life for me in a heartbeat. She would defend me. But you and I were talking about, some people go exactly 180 degrees mm-hmm. from what they experience. So, like, my dad wasn't around. I went 180 degrees from that. I was like, I'm going to hold on to my kids. Even though I'm in a divorce situation, I'm never going to, you know, be separate from them. And then sometimes you just sort of, it has a different impact on you.
Or you become a product of.
You become a product of
exactly what you.
Exactly. And so I'm just not, like Jason, we share that I'm not a naturally affectionate person. He brings up a great point in that, so acts of service would be more of my way of showing someone that okay. I love them. But it's not so much the giver as the receiver who's important, right? Like, we want the
right.
person receiving it to feel the love.
Yep.
So, yeah, my wife, she's more, her love language for me, for be more affectionate and to receive affection. So Jason and I were just
sort of work cut out for you.
Yeah. Talking about that. Like, it's a struggle because it doesn't come to me naturally. And so sometimes when those don't come to you naturally, you feel like you're forcing it, you
yep.
know, why force it? Well, it's kind of like, if you're not really a gift giver, but your wife likes gifts, like, aren't you still going to give her a gift, or are you not going to do it because you're forcing it? So
yep.
the translation for that for me is, if we're out and about, I'm intentional about holding her hand, about giving her a hug. If we were at a cookout recently, and I just walked up behind her and hugged her from behind and gave her a kiss on the cheek. Like, I want her to know that I love her. And it doesn't have to be the way that I express it. It needs to be the way that she receives it. my 12-year-old, it's time. He wants dad's time. And so as much time as I can give to him, he feels loved. He likes words of affirmation. And so I'm constantly encouraging him and telling him the things I really believe about him and what God believes about him. So this is a great, you know, I think where Jason and I struggled with this was he's kind of talking about kissing and holding hands in other cultures between men. And we landed on the fact that, you know, these are cultural things that maybe some of the things that he's saying in the chapter don't necessarily apply to the way that our culture is in the United States. And also even he brings up biblical references in scripture from Paul, but also like that's a different time and culture as well. So I think you've said it really well, Jason, that basically affection is the communication of love. Now, even sometimes in our culture, there's like the author talks about we've gone from the handshake as men to maybe like the fist pound.
Yep.
We've got the sort of the bro hug, which yep. is like a handshake with like the arm around each other, yep. double tap on the back. But the guys that are in my life that I really love, two things: I hug them, I embrace them when I see them, and I don't feel it's awkward or weird. I don't think they do either. It's a hug that's an embrace that says, "Man, I love you," and I have no hesitation with telling the men in my life who are so important to me that I love them. I think our culture tends to just make us feel odd or weird about that. But I do have the love of Christ for my brothers in Christ, and so I tell them that so they know that.
Yep. You mentioned your son, time is one. You know, I'd say to dads out there, generally speaking, you know, just know that these love languages too, as you age and as you mature and grow, that your love languages can shift and change. But it's very common for our kids. Time is almost unanimously mm-hmm. a love language.
That's right.
And so really lean into time right now, because I could say probably you'll never go wrong by giving your kids time. That's going to be a huge way they receive love
from
you. And so, but as our kids get older, that might shift and that might change. And so just to be aware of that, it's not time maybe forever, but pretty unanimously, they, you know, you've heard the saying, children spell love T-I-M-E.
Yep.
And it's pretty true. And then we've talked about this before, that there's something about a dad's time. You know, no disrespect or dishonoring our moms here at all, but there's something about a dad's time that seems to even be magnified in the life of our children. And, you know, we've read this about this in books, many books, you know, these are, you know, psychologists and pastors and all kinds of different people that have written about this, and we've read about this, and we see statistically story after story about how, for whatever reason, like it's almost like magnified tenfold. You know, there, I always remember the one story of they were interviewing or discussing, like, you know, things that your dad did for you growing up. In this one, I remember one of the stories was, you know, my dad would come in and tuck me in bed like every night and pray with me every single night. And then they told the dad that, hey, this had a profound impact on your child growing up like that. And he goes, that's interesting, because while I'm really happy they said that, it's really not accurate.
Right.
I probably did that a couple of times a week, but right. not every single night. Right. But to that kid, and as they grew, it was every single
night. Their
memory
of it, right.
Just stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that. So to remember that as a dad, like the time that you give is magnified. And so take advantage of it.
Absolutely.
And lean into that, and they will receive. And then, you know, through whatever you're doing with them, there's going to be affection, I think, felt mm-hmm. and received as you give them that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you're, you know, in that time, maybe there's a hug or there's a word of affirmation
yeah.
or there's a gift that's involved or whatever. But anyway, so, you know, don't just think in terms of, we say, you know, I think he said, how did we say this at the beginning? Get my notes back, that, you know, just men are affectionate and boys hold back emotional expression. The big idea is, guys, just love well, lean into those love languages and express. Don't hold it back. Whatever that looks like for you, you know, I don't think there could be a wrong way. I always say this when we bless our kids. Guys, we're all going to do this differently. Don't put pressure on yourself here. There's no wrong way about
right.
this. Any form of you blessing your kids is a win.
Absolutely.
It's a win. Absolutely. The key in it, just don't hold back.
Right.
Man, if there's a tear, let the tear out. If there's a word, let the word out. Like,
yes.
If there's a hug, let the hug out. Like, go for it. And you'll, it's just, then it's a win. It's a win no matter, no matter what. So that's where we wanted to kind of land the conversation for this month. So, we'll be back. This is July 1. We'll be back in a month.
Yeah.
So here's what we want you to do. Share today's conversation with a friend. Let it encourage them. As we talk about this idea that men are affectionate and how that can play out. And then we want you to know that being July, that we are literally the next month, August, is the beginning of the domestic USA dad camp season. Believe it or not, like over 11 weekends starting in the beginning of August, over the course of 11 straight weekends, there'll be 31 dad camp weekends around the U.S. And so there are still spots available in different parts of the country. And so check that out or do a relation trip like Matt talked about doing with his son. Like, and just because it's 3 hours away, or even if it's 8 hours away, jump in the car and make an adventure out of it. Get to a dad camp this year. Just because one's sold out, don't make that an excuse that you can't go to dad camp. There are other events and opportunities out there. I know that there's locations in Texas, Pennsylvania, Montana that have space left, and then like I said, Indiana. We've got 4 different hubs this year in Indiana, and there are still spaces. So it doesn't matter where you live in Indiana, dads.
Right.
Who's your dads? If you're in northern Indiana and the north location sold out, drive 3 hours across the state and go to the south Indiana location. Go to the one near Indianapolis called Flat Rock. So, don't let 3 hours be the reason to not do a relation trip and have another incredible weekend. And I can promise you that the content this year, for me personally, I'm writing it right now, and we're using the book that we're bringing this from this year. For me, 18 years of doing this, in my opinion, if I would have been 18 years ago and would have had this book and I would have had this content, it would have changed. It has changed how I think about parenting, but it would have changed even how, I mean, I know I would have been even stronger dad than I've been because of this content. It is to me the richest book maybe we've ever put in a dad's hand. So,
wow.
So come and grow and be around tons of other dads that are in the same space as you, just wanting to get a little better, get a little stronger. So any final 10% from you?
My final 10% this episode is to ask all of you listening who are believers, and especially our dad camp army, to really be focused on praying. The season being busy is a good thing. We're reaching more dads. We're getting that message out there. We're impacting families and just changing generational curses and impacting generational blessings. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It takes a lot of moving parts. There are a lot of people who are putting a lot of time, energy, as I say, blood, sweat, and tears into it. And we as an organization need your prayers. Without prayer, we are sunk. And so the more we have petitioning the Father, going on our behalf, asking for unity, for strength, that we would soar on wings like eagles, that we would be energized for the content that Jason's writing, for the dad's hearts to be moved, for God to bring everything together, for him to orchestrate everything, for him to get all the glory, honor, and praise. Those are some specific prayer points that we are asking you for. Please be praying for those things throughout our dad camp season. We appreciate it.
Yes, yes, yes. And and if this whole mission and vision of what dad camp is inspires you, and you'd say, I just want to be a part of, dreaming of a world where every family has a great dad, and being a part of this movement and this story, and you're not a dad camp army member, go to the dadcamp.org website, click on dad camp army, and jump in.
Yes.
Jump in. It's not a big ask, but it's a huge return on investment.
Amen.
And we're so thankful for all of you Army members that are out there as well. But thank you for reminder, Matt. Please be praying for us. This is it's hard, but it's awesome. But we need the prayer. We are sunk without it. So, guys, love you, and just appreciate you. Share this episode with your friends. Rate and review it if you can. And you have what it takes. We've been saying that for 18 years, and we continue to tell you guys, you do have what it takes. So go do whatever it takes to be that man, to be that father, to show that affection that our families deserve from us. And take care. We'll see you again in another month.